Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings. And welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Mulshine. And we are here with our final chapter, get it?
Wow.
Of coverage of Britney Spears' memoir.
The Woman in Me by Britney Spears.
The Woman in Me. So when we last left Britney, she had shaved her little head. And now she's dealing with the fallout.
Everybody thinks she's crazy.
And she's just got postpartum depression, really. I mean,
seriously, though, that, like, I felt like, as much as we even want to argue for this bitch is crazy, it's also like, no, she's just public. But she had postpartum depression and was furious.
Yeah, understandably so. So she buys short bobs. She buys seven wigs, all short bobs, which I got to say at the time made her look a little crazier. I don't know. I remember her walking around with like purple green.
Oh, the green. I remember the pink the most.
Yeah, it didn't help. But not that she owed us not looking crazy. But
right. I think that was part of her point, though. She was like, yeah, I'm crazy then. Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. And what we were saying in our last episode was like, at the time, no one was providing the context that this was someone who was 2 months postpartum after back-to-back pregnancies, who had just lost custody of her children and was unable to see them. Like, we were not getting that context. So it was really easy as a society to just sit back and gawk and be like, she's having a breakdown. Why is this happening? We don't know. But you know, now we're getting the full context, and I definitely feel like an asshole.
I know. And I also feel like as a culture, we almost like forgot that she, because like she mentions like no one was even acknowledging that I had had a baby 2 months ago. And then like 9 months before that, it's like it's weird. Like, and maybe it was Kevin's doing, but I do feel like even at that time, we separated her from her children as well.
What do you mean by that?
Like, whether it was that she like almost tripped, and she talks about it in the book, or like drove with the baby on her lap, we didn't acknowledge at all like her human experience. We were just like, unfit mother, crazy.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Where's the old Britney? It's like the old Britney didn't have kids.
Right. And we were pissed we as a society, not us personally, but like people were pissed at her for gaining weight. And it's like she was having,
it's like she had two babies.
It was terrible.
Right.
She talks about going on Matt Lauer and how he was asking her Or no, this is a, I'm sorry. This is a paparazzo who kept asking her how she felt not being able to see her kids. He was smiling. Finally, I snapped and she grabs the umbrella. And that's when the notorious umbrella photos happened where she was attacking the paparazzo, which
I love the way that she phrased it, though, where she was like, I'm actually a really nice person. So I didn't attack him. She's like, I just attacked his car in front of a million cameras. It's like, okay.
I know. She's like, it was just the car.
Yeah.
I hit the next closest like, really thing. Made a point
of it, like, I never assault some. She really made a point of it to be like, I would never assault a person.
I relate to that, actually. I feel like that's what I would. Yeah. I would do that too. I would never hit a person. But if someone was pissed, if someone was doing that to me, yeah, fair game.
And not to mention, like, who else in our current, like from then until now, what pop star even would have the confidence to do that?
I know.
No one would do that.
I know. And like, so.
Like, is she crazy or is she actually a fucking confident star? Like, I mean, ultimately, she's a Sagittarius. And so that makes sense. But it's like, there's a lot of Sagittarians in this story and in the pop sphere. And they just, yeah, she really could do this.
Yeah. She talks about how her husband now, Sam, like, She talks a lot about Sam. She calls him Hissam. I don't know how to say that.
Hissam.
Is that how you say it?
I think because I wrote down he's Sam, she's Brittany. So I think it must have been Hissam in the book.
Oh, well, you
Hissam in the book.
So you're just guessing, though.
No. She's Michelle's guessing, and I'm repeating. But yeah, it was Hissam.
Oh, Michelle said it. Okay. Cool. Sorry.
I think it's interesting that she never called him Sam.
I know. She always calls him Hissam. And
how formal, of all things to be formal about.
I know. And this book, I guess, went to press before the divorce was announced.
I kind of feel like, yes, but also after reading this book, it gave me a little bit. First of all, I feel kind of bad about anything I ever said about him because, boy, does he sound nice. But also, I felt like she made a point of it to say he doesn't drink. I don't know if the relationship's actually over. Apparently he filed for divorce, but has not served her papers and they will expire. So they're technically still married and she might've, you know, in her freedom glory moments been drinking and he's not a drinker. Like I could see it being over partying and then her being like, okay, wait, like I don't know. I mean, based on the book, and her assessment, which who knows if she's a reliable narrator in that way, only because she doesn't have the greatest picker. But
right.
This is the first person that she's dated that feels really, I guess Jason was kind to her, but we can get to him. But I guess he was sort of like boring. And also he was just like industry. Like Sam is also innocent like her. I believe in their relationship again, and I don't think it's over.
Yeah, I think that's a really good theory that it maybe was about the drinking and partying and she like maybe
imagine if you for 13 years were not allowed to have what did you want, a Jack and Coke or something? And like if all of a sudden you were free, it's like, of course you'd be drinking.
Right. And that would make sense that he would be like, I'm out. And then she would be like, OK, never mind. I'll stop drinking.
Right. Because when they started dating, he thought that she was, even if it was because of a conservatorship, the only Brittany that he knew, apparently, according to this, was just like a super regimented, disciplined, sober person.
Right. So true.
And which I think he relates to. Yeah. But I think when she started being like real Brittany, like free Brittany, he was like, wait a second. What have I signed up for?
Yeah. So I think this is like the first mention of him in the book is really sweet. She says that he told her that girls shave their heads now and it's considered a cool look to make her feel better. Really sweet. Really sweet.
I was just really, really sweet. And I was really proud when I read that because I was like, wow, before we even got there in the book, like remember I said last F, I was like, now it's a thing. I want her to know that now it's a thing. I'm glad that he got the message to her when I could not.
Yeah, for sure. So now we get to her. I think this is her first rehab stint of the book. My head is swimming with rehab details. I'm not positive.
Well, but I also feel like it's like there's rehab, but then there's also like mental institution. Like it's two different things.
The one she goes to later is like more of an institution. Yeah.
Which is when she like ultimately afterwards was like, fuck this. I'm going to talk to the judge.
Yeah. So she says she's been told that it will help her get custody back of the kids if she goes to rehab. Again, with the passive voice, God knows who told her that. I don't, like, it's hard to tell. And she says she feels like she had more of a rage and grief problem than a substance problem, but she went anyway. And her dad was there and he sat across from her and said, "You're a disgrace." He's terrible. He's so terrible.
He's like fucking psycho, dude. Oh my God. But wait, can I tell you what I found out?
What?
So I was deep diving while your baby was pissing all over the ceilings this morning. Mm-hmm. And I found not only the charts, first of all, Lillian, her grandmother's mother's name was also Lillian. How interesting that Brittany's not Lillian. That is so the Lilith story, to be like, I am Lilith. I am femme fatale, but not to be named. L-L-L-L-L.
Yeah.
Lillian. Jean, Emma Jean Spears, on her grave, I saw her maiden name. You want to know what her maiden name was, Ma?
Who? Emma Jean. Is that the British grandma?
The grandma that killed herself on the baby's grave that she was named for. Ha 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 ha. No, the British grandma was Lillian.
Okay. Jean was the one who had been institutionalized. Okay, yeah. What's her maiden
and
name?
And died at 31. Her maiden name was Forbes.
Okay. Wait, so why is that crazy?
Because this is a whole story about money.
Oh.
And like from the Spears, from James Spears' side, like Lynn kind of was going along with it. I also found out that I think she might have like murdered a child a long time ago, but
you can't say that. She allegedly may have vehicular manslaughtered a child.
Right, not murder. It wasn't intentional, but it was like, oops, I did it again. So Lynn. So anyway, stay in your own lane, Lynn.
Yeah,
okay.
Literally.
So unfunny, I'm sorry. I just think it's interesting that it's Jean, Emma Jean Forbes,
yeah,
Spears. But they were Forbes. I mean, granted, there's a lot of Forbes, there's a lot of armor, we're not the hot dogs, but like, I don't know, I just think language is interesting and karma is like long-term generational karma is oftentimes just right under our nose.
Yeah, that is interesting. Very interesting.
Of all names.
Yeah. Yeah. So she gets out of rehab and she gets 50-50 custody through a great attorney who helped me, but the battle kept raging with Kevin and it was eating me alive.
I also think, side note, it's interesting that the thing that she actually went to rehab for, did I process this correctly, was energy pills, over-the-counter energy pills?
Yeah. We talked about this on Michelle Collins' podcast this morning.
What oh my God, everybody check it out. And thanks, Michelle. And Michelle, come on, do the pod and I'll read your chart.
Yeah. We also talked about how you and her are chart twins, which we really...
Oh, because you did all have to listen now. Wow. What a sell. I'm in.
I know. But yeah.
Me?
Like,
I'm in.
What are these energy pills? We'll get to it. But like...
They've got to just be like... I mean, I don't know if we're talking Jesse Spano caffeine pills, but I feel like, didn't you go through a phase in high school? I feel like I did, where it was like, these will also like suppress your appetite. It was like before we even knew Adderall existed. Yes. It was just Ritalin at that time.
This is what I said verbatim to Michelle. I like, that's what we talked about. Doing diet pills in high school, like, and she gets that must be what this was.
I think that's I think she was like, that's what I'm saying. I literally think she was like big sister in the realest way for us.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think it's like a Jesse Spano situation where,
yeah,
I guess maybe it was just that her parents were trying to find any excuse to send her to rehab or institutionalize, yes, her.
I think that that's literally what it was. I think that they were just looking for any kind of veering from the path that they had set down, where she had absolutely no budge or bulge. But when they like she literally says, like, my dad noticed like I was a little bit more fit and had more energy. It's like,
what?
Like, wouldn't that be a product of your good work, dad? But no, you were keeping her mid so that you could control her.
It's so dark. It's so dark. Like, it's
so fucking dark. It's like, no, it's like, it's unfathomable.
It is actually hard to believe. And I'm trying, yes, really hard not to doubt.
I do believe it.
Yeah, like, exactly. It's hard for me to believe because I'm just like, who would ever do that? And I have to just keep reminding myself that Jamie Spears is an evil, controlling man. And
well, and she even, by the end of the book, spoiler alert, she even forgives his father, June,
right,
married to Jean. It's like, she does her best by the end of the book to like forgive and humanize all of them. And she is just the most kind-hearted. I just fucking love her. What a doll.
I know.
She loves them, even though she'll never speak to them again.
I know. She's a bigger person than me.
She's a big person. She's a, well, but you know what? That's her chart. Sagittarius, Aquarius. These are the, this is the end of the zodiac.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, okay. She goes, now we get to her Gimme More performance of the at the VMAs.
Give us less. Give us less.
Yeah, the performance heard around the world. Now, okay, her team is pressuring her to get out there and show the world she's fine. The only problem with this plan is that she says she was not fine backstage at the VMAs. There's a problem. She, okay, now I have to say, she vagues it out here. That's what, that's a term we use sometimes.
I love that term. I love vagues it out.
Yeah, in journalism. I mean, this was at one particular job I had. If we were on deadline and we didn't know a detail, we'd be like, can I just vague it out? And you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to ever vague it out. But sometimes.
Well, that's why we also need to do more research on did Lynn vehicular manslaughter at 12.
Right, exactly. Like, you can't be
vague. They vagued that out. They vagued that. A lot to vague out, but they did it.
Yeah, you can't be vaguing stuff out, but sometimes you gotta. So she says, I hadn't slept the night before. I was dizzy. Okay, here's the, she hadn't slept the night before. She was partying with Diddy until like 6 a.m.
How do you know? Are you vaguing that out? Are you making it up? What's the deal?
No, it's documented. She was out partying the night before.
So she didn't sleep because she
was in the club. She was in the club. Damn.
Okay. I fully forgive you then in that case.
She's like, I hadn't slept the night before. Well, yeah, you weren't just, you didn't have stage fright, you know, but like, whatever.
No, actually, that makes the Justin story more poignant, though. Actually, she's a fool not to include that because first of all, name drop Diddy. Second of all, like, to see Justin and, you know, I get being triggered, period, but if you haven't slept and you're like coming down, so essentially that performance was a crash. It was just a kind of crash that we couldn't have possibly imagined until now.
Right, she was hungover.
Yeah, and the reason she was so emotional about Justin was because she was so hungover.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that performance now.
I know that I made a TikTok about this years ago that like went really like did big numbers because I was like, she, that like if you take iconic into consideration the fact that she's postpartum, her head is recently shaved, and she's hungover, this is a really good performance.
She's hungover and saw Justin, who was in his like sexy back era, like flirting with women and fucking half the people that are backstage with you too, and she's weeping. I love knowing that she was crying before and after she got on stage. That changes the whole thing for me.
Yeah, I know. I want to rewatch it. And the thing that also really sucks and is so unfair is it's only a bad performance by her own metrics. She set the bar so high that was
a little bit sleepy.
It was. But
and
like,
the wig was sort of like cockeyed, which actually, who knows? It kind of is now too, though. So I don't.
But there's just plenty of mediocre performers that any award show.
Sure. Yes.
And
correct.
Like,
yes.
She just was the best of the best before that.
I'm right. So, I mean, Adele and Mariah have literally never moved their legs during song.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, man, iconic moment, though.
But I feel like that's more memorable than 9/11 to me. Like, do you remember where you were? I remember I can be in a second back to that place leaning in. I was with my friend Chloe. We were living in Haley in my apartment in Boston. It was summer. Or maybe it wasn't summer. I just remember.
Yeah, VMAs are summer.
It was.
End of summer.
Okay, so that's right. So we were, and I remember, I specifically remember being like leaned into my TV and we were like, it's time. We were so, it's that moment. And we both were like, afterwards, I want to get Chloe on the pod just to recall our interaction because it was like, wow, like I'm really upset. Like upset with Britney way, but in a like, what, like that was the first moment of like something's very wrong.
Yeah, like she's not bouncing back from the head shave or the umbrella thing.
She's in it like hardcore and more than ever.
Yeah, it was a bummer,
but that's like the first like brush of being truly disappointed with an idol of mine, I think, ever. Where were you when you watched?
I don't remember, but I remember all the fallout in the front pages and everything. I remember a really mean cartoon where they made her look just huge and like unkempt, and it just it was formative, and it was crazy because she wasn't even like that overweight, and it was, that was the big headline.
No, actually, that's the one thing about it. Her body's fine.
Yeah.
Her body's actually fine.
It's totally fine. It's, again, just bigger than she used to be when she was, you know, 19.
She just had two babies.
Exactly.
Like, so, just.
No one cared about that context. And we were all, like, she says in the book, she's like, sorry that I wasn't 19 years old anymore. And I just remember everyone making a big deal about how fat she was and being like,
yeah,
okay, I guess that's fat. And I guess I need to never look like that. And like
100%. And everybody was like, what's the phrase? Not she's given up, but like,
let go, let herself go.
She's let it go. She's let it go. And she said that's what people were saying. She let it go. And it's like, she didn't let it go. She just birthed two humans. What the fuck, you guys?
Yeah. It's so fucked up.
And she got surprise divorced.
And she's pissed at Sarah Silverman that Sarah called her two babies the most adorable mistakes you'll ever see.
It's not her best joke.
Yeah, it's mean. It's mean, but she's mean. And, you know.
Yeah, but she is better than that, too. I don't mind mean if it again, I say this all the time. I think Sarah's mean sometimes does work because it is funny.
Yeah.
That's not even a good one, Sarah. That might have been just a moment in time where everyone was too crunk.
And it was before we really like got or gave ourselves the memo that you shouldn't make fun of kids, even if they're famous and rich. You know,
100%. And I want to say also, I believe at this time we were in an era where like Sarah was also still doing like blackface.
Oh, like, yeah.
So like it's not just you, Brittany, for the record.
It is not Sarah's best era either. In fact, I would say.
In fact, it is the worst.
They were both on a similar trajectory in terms of eras at that point.
100.
So Ryan Seacrest asked her all these questions. How do you respond to those who criticize you as a mom? Do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids? How often will you see them? And she says,
would anybody ask that now?
What?
Would anybody ask that now?
If the biggest story about you was your parenting and your custody battle, I think they would. And I think this was really a failure on the part of the people around Brittany to prepare her for these very obvious questions.
Yeah, that's how you know James Spears is in charge.
Right, exactly. And like no friend of hers, nobody is saying to her, look, the public perception is that you're not a good mom. We need to figure out how to fix this. Instead, she's being blindsided. Like this falls on her PR team. It falls on her friends. It falls on her family because she was.
Well, per your point before, though, I think they were happy to see her flail because the closer they were getting to truly sending her away and spending every penny she made.
Right. They would rather her be blindsided by these questions. And yeah, like it's uncomfortable to be asked those questions, but that's a give and take when you're doing press. You need to be asked uncomfortable questions. And if you think it's nobody's business, then you shouldn't do press. Sorry.
I agree with that completely, you know? But I just sort of feel like, not that it necessarily has to be about, like, look, everybody is going to ask Taylor about Travis Kelce now for a while. But, like, I feel like, I guess it's just, like, I can't believe, it's so mean.
It's not necessarily mean.
From a journalistic perspective. But it's like, is Ryan Seacrest a journalist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's interviewing you on his show in exchange for giving you promotion for your album, yeah.
Wait, side note, I was right. I just checked because I had this feeling. But you know who else is a Sag, son?
Who?
Silverman.
No way.
Yep. Wow. No, there's so much Sagittarius in this story. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, that's
why. You know who else is a Sag moon? Shar Jackson.
Oh, my God.
It's all Sag. This is a huge Sag. But that's the thing. It's like, it's explosive and it's like literally viral in nature in terms of like so many people are affected by the Brittany wildfire.
Yeah. That is so wild.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Okay. This is kind of weird. A bodyguard goes to, so this is when the shit is all hitting the fan. She says, my management team quit. A bodyguard went to court with Gloria Allred by his side, who's a super
insane,
super famous lawyer.
Like specifically, like other than this, I guess, specifically like a feminist lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. As a witness in the custody case, he said I was doing drugs. He wasn't cross-examined. So is she saying that this bodyguard lied under oath? Like,
what I took was that they didn't care. Jamie had already paid them off. That's my subtext. She didn't write that. But my sense was that, like, okay, well, like, she was on drugs. That didn't necessarily mean, like, cocaine and Xanax, although what did she do before the VMAs? But I think it's more like, I mean, she was always on something, and, like, the judge, for whatever reason, didn't care to clarify. Oh, okay, she takes anything? Technically, I'm on drugs.
Well, we don't know what the bodyguard said. Maybe they didn't specify.
Maybe they did, right. But how could she? I guess I just don't understand how she could have been doing drugs at this time. It sounds like she would. Like, what year was this?
I think this was before she was so completely.
Okay, it was right before conservatorship, actually.
Yeah, this was before.
Okay, so then she might have been on drugs, and yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just, it again.
She just might have been, like, on drugs. She might have just been, like, going out.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to testify under oath.
Right. She must have been 2008, the conservatorship started. So this is right before the conservatorship. And yeah, if she was out all night before the VMAs with Diddy, who the fuck knows what she was up to?
Right. Which also, like,
is fair.
Yeah. Someone else is watching the kids, you know?
Yeah. But I guess it's just hard because it's like she is a public figure. She's a celebrity. But it's like, I think it's important to remember per this book how she was raised, who raised them. She's from a long line of, I mean, she talks about sitting at the top of the stairs while all the adults did speed and drank all night because her parents would throw big parties. It's even in their trailer. It's like, she's from a crunk environment.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So now we get to the part.
Anything wrong. That's how she was literally raised.
Yeah. So now we get to the part that's another notorious moment in the Britney breakdown lore, I guess. January 2008, a bodyguard comes to who works for Kevin, which is so hilarious that Kevin Federline has enough money to be paying security guards, and so sad and disappointing. Like,
but that's where it's like, was he paying or was she paying? I feel like she's the type to just be like, joint bank account.
Exactly. At this point. Like, she's paying for it. Yeah.
She's paying for it. And I think it's interesting, too. This is now the second staff member of his that she's paying for that's now being paid by her not to speak to her.
Yeah. It's really weird because why were so many of her staffers so willing to defect to Kevin?
Because everyone's broke. And if Kevin has access to Britney's money, that's the whole thing. As long as everybody else has access to Britney money, she's just a casualty. She might as well be a refugee. From anywhere.
But it's just, you would think that there would be more people who would be like, you know, I don't think Kevin is going to have the money long term. I don't know. It's just weird that so many people are believing in him in this way. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though, this did change my whole idea of Cade, because he actually seems to be the only one. Cade Hudson, yeah, who remains in her life to this day, seems to be the only one that has been there for her this whole time.
Right. I know. Who is that? I had never heard that name before.
I think he's just some dude that, oh no, no, that's not true. Cade was a CAA agent, but he was not her agent. I believe he left CAA, and as she was going through everything, they stayed friends, and I believe now he's her agent, but something happened with him where I don't think he's still with CAA, and I think they had some.
Okay. So he's just a friend.
But he was, but he also was a CAA agent.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's a friend in the industry.
Okay. So this thing that happens in January 2008, the bodyguard comes to pick up the kids. He puts, she calls one Preston. I thought his name was Sean Preston, but whatever.
I know, but it's like, but lo and behold, only on the grave did I find out it was Emma Jean.
So
some people go middle name.
He comes to get Jaden, and she's like, oh my God, I may never see them again because of my custody case. So she locks herself in the bathroom with Jaden, and that turned into a whole huge thing. And then a SWAT team came in and burst through the bathroom door as if I'd hurt someone. The only thing I was guilty of was feeling desperate to keep my own children for a few hours and to get some assurance that I wasn't going to lose them for good. I looked at my friend and said, but you just said he would wait, because her friend had said that the bodyguard said he would wait. But also, like, to be fair, that is like,
it's crazy. Don't act crazy.
What?
Don't act crazy.
I know. It's a little bit like
if you were doing that, it would be like, relax, Molly. They're not going to take the baby forever. Like, just fucking go home.
I know. I feel really bad.
You broke up.
She has every reason to be paranoid, but this is just not helping her case, because when you have a custody agreement with someone, you have to adhere to it. Like, you can't just be like, actually, today I'm afraid that you're never going to give them back again, so I'm locking myself in the bathroom. Like, it's not.
Well, but the crazy thing though is, like, she was, well, it's like the question is like, sorry, also my mic was all the way volume down. Is that better?
It sounded fine.
Oh, okay. I think it's also worth noting that, like, is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? Because that is what happened. Or was she intuitively right about what was going on?
That's a really good, really good point. I loved later on when she's like, my fans intuitively knew because we're connected. I was like,
come to the moon, you won't.
It's because there were no paparazzi pictures of you coming out anymore.
Well, and it's also because you looked like a robot in drag. I mean.
Yeah, but it's cute that it's cute. She's cute. It's really cute.
No, come to the moon, you will. She's one of us.
So they tie her onto a gurney and take her to the hospital because of this bathroom thing. And then the hospital lets her go, but they make her do a 72-hour hold before they let her go. And the paparazzi.
Well, no, she gets out. She said she gets out before then, but nobody cared at that point because it was like the damage was done. The paparazzi got her going into the ambulance on the gurney. No, she says that they let her out.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is that nobody cared.
Is also like, okay, but you still got admitted. For like, come on,
yeah, but I think her point is that, like, yeah, they were doing everything they could. She also later in the book goes to rehab for CVS energy supplements,
right? Yeah,
they were looking for anything to make her look crazy because everybody at this point needs her. She's like just like a carcass, but she's alive.
But who's they?
Her family, Kevin. That's it.
Yeah. But who called the ambulance?
Kevin.
We don't know that.
Well, she was at Kevin's house.
No, she wasn't. She was at her house. Kevin wasn't there.
Right. Oh, right. Kevin wasn't there. Well, you know, I will say this. What struck me as interesting is throughout the book, there were times when I felt like she sort of like mentioned her mother and then was like, mom had been there at the girls' sleepover with us for 3 days. I feel like Lynn was there.
Yeah, but we don't know who called the ambulance. And also, to be fair, like,
true that.
Who
true
knows
that.
What kind of stuff she was saying while she was locked in the bathroom with him? Like,
right. She's like, I'm going to eat my baby just to keep him.
No, like the people around might have thought that she was a danger to herself or others.
Yeah, she might have been just sounding crazy.
Yeah, like she. So it really sucks that this happened. But also, once again, we're only getting like one side, and it might have been a. It just might have been a scary. It might have been a scary situation, is what I'm saying.
Right. It's totally possible that some of the things in this book were actually nice people trying to do the right thing.
Right, and then it got completely bastardized by her crazy ass dad and Lou Taylor.
James, you know, James and Lou, and I have both of their charts.
Yeah. So this is rich. Jamie Lynn around this time almost files for emancipation from the parents.
Because they took her phone away and she had to get a burner phone.
It's like, and then she just sits there silently when Brittany later on is like being treated like chattel by her parents after she herself almost sought emancipation as a minor because they took her phone. Like, Jesus.
I want to say, I hope that Jamie Lynn is okay in the aftermath of this book, because not that anyone's going to come for her, but she should be, no, shamey. Shamey Lynn. Shame on you. She is a little baby idiot. I love that she was just on Dancing with the Stars and was voted off the second week because everyone hates her. Like, she's out of reality. And like, even by the end of the book, Britton tries to say, hey, forgive my sister. She's out of reality. I created her reality. She doesn't know she's in my reality. So like, okay. But either way, what a fucking idiot. What an idiot. What an asshole. And like, yeah, I imagine she'll be okay because she's doesn't seem to be intellectual enough to even know that Brittany was literally turning into an Alex Mack, who we now know as Larissa Olenek, puddle on the... She's like, we should do a sister show! It's like, yo, Jamie Lynn is all the way out of it as well, but actually I think that's her personality.
But I think it's nefarious also. I think she's like also really dumb and myopic in a way that is endemic to the Spears family in
absolutely.
A way that also it skipped Britney. Britney is compassionate and seems to like have empathy, but
no, she's like the black sheep in that she's like really talented and nice and everyone else is not.
Yeah, everyone else is
like, when black sheep means you're actually great.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn. So just for the record, though, okay, Jamie Lynn, Sagittarius moon, so she really thinks she's right, and she's an Aries sun. She's not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And Aries Mercury.
Aries going to Aries. Aries. So now, Brittany says she's been taking a lot of Adderall at this time as well, which, again...
Who didn't?
Yeah, we all did, and it can make you act pretty fucking crazy.
I mean, I never did what she did, but I also have never had, like, even the chance to have a bad VMA performance, so...
Right. I mean, for me, at my, like, most cracked out on Adderall...
I would just yell at people, and it would actually be stuff I stood by because I meant it.
Yeah, but if my parents were around, they might have been like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
during finals time when I was literally not sleeping for a week and chain-smoking Parliament lights.
Right,
like,
right.
If a loved one was around, they might have wanted to strap me to a gurney.
Right. I mean...
Adderall is crazy.
It is. It is also my favorite, too, and I totally get what she's saying about depression. I feel like... It is the only thing I've ever taken in my life that I've been like, wow, I feel better. But I don't, I actually really do my best not to. I've been abusive of it for sure. But I also really try not to, mostly because of cankles in circulation, but also because
why cankles?
Because it messes up your circulation. And that's how you get cankles. And the minute I read that, I was like, wow, you gotta like really be responsible about
this. Who made that? Who said that?
WebMD.
Okay, but you can't...
I'd rather have a heart attack than have cankles.
If it messes up your circulation, it will give you a heart attack, not cankles.
Said cankles. And that did it for
me. All right, we'll look into this more, but...
All I'm saying is that if she wasn't really famous, this would be like, oh, Brittany.
Right. The only reason all these people are intervening and sending her to rehab and strapping her to gurneys is because there's money to be made off of her.
They're employed.
Yeah, if she was just your typical... New Jersey college student on this much Adderall, it would just be like not even news.
No, like if Bezos starts acting particularly cracked out, the staff, the C-suite might be like, all right, we got to handle this.
Yeah. So now she starts dating Sam Lutfi, and she never uses his name, but we can tell that it's him just based on what she's saying.
Indeed.
She's driving erratically. We were driving fast near the edge of a cliff, and I don't know why, but I decided to pull a 360 right there on the edge. I honestly didn't even know I could do a 360. It was completely like, you didn't do a 360, you just spun the thing around really fast, but right. It was completely beyond
you
me.
Ended so up thinking, doing a 360, and you were souped like you were Vin Diesel.
Yeah. And she goes, I think it was God, but I stuck it. The back wheels of the car stopped on what seemed like the very edge, and if the wheels had rotated maybe three more times, we would have just gone off the cliff. We could have just died, I said. I felt so alive. So this is, I mean, you know, it's good that she's being honest about some of the more dangerous behavior, I guess, at that time.
To me, it's like, this is a girl that, like, I mean, she was that bored and she misses, the way that she phrased that, I stuck it, she misses gymnastics. She misses, like, yeah. She wants to hit the marks. That's all she is.
Then she finds out that he was married.
That shocks me.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Wow.
But he loved me unconditionally. It wasn't like my mom screaming at me for partying. He said, girl, go, you got it, do your thing. He wasn't like my father, who set impossible conditions for his love. Ugh, all she wants is to be loved. That's all she wants in this life.
But it's fucking hilarious that she was like, it was the most erotic, like, this so far is the most erotic and the only really erotic, like, the hint of erotic relationship she's really really had. Like, this is the only one where she was like, it was lustful and like it was hot and sexy. I can't believe Sam is ultimately like her type, like that's who she thinks is the, I mean, he's Sam. Oh, maybe that's why she doesn't call him Sam.
Oh, because there's two different Sams.
I just think it's funny that Sam number one is like, I just think it's funny that that was her first taste of like, I'm so attracted to you.
Yeah, so
he had the thing, right?
Oh, what is that called?
Soul, like, patch. The mouth rat tail. Salt.
Ew, but
soul
mouth
patch.
Rat.
It was like a, it was a runway.
Mouth,
it was
rat
a runway.
Really funny.
Lol.
She's talking about how she says, I talked as if I were out of my mind. I was so loud everywhere I went, even at restaurants. People would go out to eat with me and I would lie down on the table. It was a way of saying fuck you to any person who came my way.
Just like not a good one. Don't lay on the table.
Yeah. Very weird. I will say it. I was bad and I was very, very angry.
But that's how you know she like truly did not have any sort of normal life growing up. Because like, if you think that's a good one, like how fucking annoying are you
to lay on the table at the restaurant?
Don't do that. What a not good one. What a stupid thing to do. What an annoying thing to do.
Yeah, it's really weird. I can't like with this era, the stuff that she's describing, it's like, I think that the central tension is someone probably did need to step in. And the problem is that her asshole dad ended up being the person, right. You know, like, right. It wasn't her friends.
Right. That's right. And but then the question also would be like, who would have otherwise? That's why it's sort of hard to fully blame her family. I was gonna say jame mm-hmm. her family. Like now blame is also jame, but it's like, who else could have?
Right. I mean, ideally you would have a nice family that would actually help you instead of exploiting her.
I just want to say, I didn't think of this as Sam until you just said it. I thought it was, what was his name? Adnan or something?
Oh yeah, that was a guy.
He was a photographer. Like, I actually think this is about Adnan, not Sam.
Oh yeah, because Sam was like, yeah, you're right, Sam had a different job.
Yeah, because he's done this again with other people apparently. Like, he's sort of just like a coke dealer slash, so like, he literally could be who The Weeknd based the idol off of.
Yeah. So
you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. He was like a Svengali type guy.
Let me Google this. I just want to keep going, but I want to figure out who this is. Yeah, Adnan.
So her parents tell her, we need to go to the beach house because the cops are coming. So she goes to the house with them.
The cops are, you need to come here because the cops are coming.
Yeah, really weird. Really, really weird. So he goes with her and he says, something's up, right? Yeah, I said, something's really off. All of a sudden there were helicopters going around the house. Is that for me? I asked my mom, is this a joke? It wasn't. Suddenly there was a SWAT team. How does the SWAT team not have anything better to do? Of what seemed like 20 cops in my house. What the fuck did I do? I kept shouting. I didn't do anything. I know I'd been acting wild, but there was nothing I'd done that justified their treating me like I was a bank robber. Nothing that justified upending my life. So I don't know what then happens. They go to the hospital for evaluation, and then she reveals that her dad is now friends with Lou Taylor. So she didn't have any clients at the time. She basically used Brittany to work to build her company, because she was technically like a manager, I guess. But she, it seems, helped him to take over Brittany's life. Like, it was her brainchild almost.
First of all, she looks like a more successful version of Lynn Spears physically. Second of all, I can just picture them now in the home that Brittany bought them, where they're like, just say it, Lynn, just say it. And she's like, okay, Brittany, you need to come here. The cops are after you. And it's like, yeah, they're after you and they're coming here. Like, she, no, not they're after you. Like, the cops are coming for you. And it's like, they're coming here for you, yeah. Is what she didn't say.
Like, we called them.
She tried to make it like, you need to protect yourself from the cops. And instead it was like, we called the cops on you.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's traumatizing. That's the most traumatic thing I've heard so far.
They put the conservator. I hate the word conservatorship, by the way. It is such a stupid word. It's one of those words where every single syllable is a prefix or a suffix. There's no real center of the word. It's conservatorship.
What's conserve?
It's just, yeah, but conserve, con is a prefix.
Like, right.
The whole word is, it's like relationship. It's just all nothings. And I hate those kind of words. There needs to be a different
word.
Guardianship is better. It's more palatable. It means something. I just hate this word. It's a terrible word, which is great because it's a terrible thing. And it's one of those things where it's kind of a murky word, maybe on purpose legally, because you can't really tell what it is. You're like, well, what's wrong with conserving? You know,
out of curiosity, now we're talking about words. I just Googled the meaning of the word ship, which is actually a vessel for bringing something to the next place. So it's almost like a ship, like a relationship is when two people are in relationship and then this becomes the thing. So I guess it's like, I'm the tour that's going to do the thing. I'm Noah of your finances.
Yeah. But it's when ship is a suffix, it's not the same meaning. But I get what you're saying.
To be the like container for.
Yes, it's a very poetic way of looking at it for sure. Yeah, so she's pissed because she's highly functional. She just did this best album of her career, and why does she need to be taken care of? He pays himself more than $6 million while paying others close to him tens of millions more.
And she was getting $2,000 a week.
Yeah, insane. Oh, and you're going to, you must have loved this. Her dad's lawyer's name is Andrew Wallet.
No, Molly, I almost want to screenshot my notes to you, but you know there were tons of skulls. I cannot. Wallet. Andrew Wallet.
Nominative determinism. Talk about nominative determinism.
And also today marks the day that Sam Bankman-Fried was convicted. It's beautiful. The poetry.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy.
Language is incredible.
This woman, Robin Greenhill, becomes the ruler who monitors every move that Britney makes, and she does a lot of annoying stuff.
Britney hates this bitch.
Yeah. So after they take her to the hospital against her will, she's informed that the conservatorship papers have been filed. And the other thing is, like, all this crazy behavior she's talking about, like doing the 360 on the cliff, lying down on the table at the restaurants, I don't even think her parents were witnessing that. So I don't even know how they got, like, what the case they made to the cops. Like, they're making this case that she's crazy, and I don't even think they're seeing the craziest stuff.
Well, I mean, was she doing it at restaurants, though? Somebody would have reported it.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter what she did. Like, it's almost like her actual.
Yeah, anything that she did, they'd be like, yep, you're crazy.
Yeah, like, her actual crazy behavior is almost beside the point because.
Right. They, like, literally had a meeting and they were like, everybody, keep watch.
Yeah. So now her mom is writing a memoir. LOL. She shared my every mistake on television promoting her book. And then Jamie Lynn later does the same thing when her life is falling apart again.
So crazy.
But I think Jamie Lynn's memoir came when she was starting to get out of the conservatorship, which is almost even more fucked up because it's like Jamie Lynn was sort of
competing.
She was like throwing a Hail Mary for like a last minute reason to keep her in, because remember she shared a story that Britney had locked herself in a bathroom with Jamie with a knife and like some stories that made Britney look crazy again. It's like,
and she was probably afraid that ultimately that original Alexa Nicholas story was going to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
That is Jamie setting her up from her own volition.
Exactly. She's trying to make a last ditch effort to keep the conservatorship in place. And if that doesn't work, at least make it look like she was in fact crazy, you know?
Well, and I also believe at that point, Jamie Lynn had become the beneficiary of the entire trust. Like Jamie's for some reason was phased out. Like there was something that went on in the background where it was like, yes, Jamie, whatever she said, but that's why she was silent. She didn't say anything. She wanted to keep it in place because ultimately, if crazy Britney died, it's all my money.
Yeah, totally.
Legally.
She was in hospitals and being driven insane, separated from her babies while her mom was on talk shows selling her book. Terrible, terrible.
I feel so fucking bad that I bought and read the book now. Fuck.
Oh, the Lynn one? It's okay.
Through the fire.
They did a good job marketing. I mean, I thought that Lynn and Britney were super close. I thought that for years until she started bashing her mom on Instagram. I thought right. that the mom was also like a victim of the dad's abuse and had no. Yeah, like I fully thought that. So
same.
They're smart. Like those Spearses, they're like evil geniuses at kind of getting this image across. Like Lynn really did market herself as this amazing, cute little Southern mom. So her dad is trying to tell her the conservatorship is a stepping stone on the road to her comeback, even though just months earlier I'd released the best album of my career
on her own.
Yeah, she is also going through how she kept all her receipts in a bowl because she's a little nerd.
That was the one where I was like, why would you mention this? That is like not so, it's like if anything it's a little disorganized. If anything, if you're gonna go that far, put it in a photo album. Like
no, and she said it was old school style to keep track of her deductions for taxes, and I'm like, how does that keep track of tax deductions? But all right, whatever. Books. I don't do anything to keep track of my spending, so
it's all online now.
She's a couple steps ahead of me. Yikes. You know,
yikes.
He said to her, I'm Britney Spears now. That was chilling.
Oh, chilling. Like that's where I felt like, wow, like that is where the book, that's like, yeah, beautiful third act entry point. Like, wow. She had like a meditation room or something and he turned it into his man cave and let her know that he's Britney Spears now.
Ugh, so gross. So terrible. This is like a man who hates women.
Chilling.
Do you remember in the documentary when they had that clip of her brother being like, all the Spears women, they're a little bit too much and we have to step in and control them or whatever he said. It wasn't that verbatim.
How could I forget? Shame.
So then she's talking about how she would go to people's house for dinner parties. And it was Cade's house for a dinner party. And no one at the party is allowed to drink until I left. The other guests were very good sports about it, but I sensed the second I left is when the real party started. They would have bouncers go to the house and sweep it for alcohol and drugs and take away everything, even Tylenol.
That sucks.
Yeah. Before date, Robin would tell the man my medical and sexual history. To be clear, this was before the first date. The whole thing was humiliating. So they're trying to scare guys away from going out with her, obviously, so that they...
No, I don't tell anyone anything. I'm like, I hope you saw my set.
Right. They're trying to just keep guys from wanting to even date her.
Yeah. Wow.
She has this court-appointed lawyer who she doesn't like, and she didn't know for 13 years she could have gotten her own lawyer.
And she makes a point of it to say, my mother knew.
Yeah. Also, this was kind of funny. I mean, sometimes these little glimpses of her goofiness come through and I just love it. My mother, who is best friends with the governor of Louisiana, could have put me on the phone with him and he would have told me I could get my own lawyer. What? Like, why do you need to take it that high up? I don't think it needs to be the governor.
Your mom could have either asked him or even, God forbid, she could have even Googled it if she still had internet access at this point. I mean,
right.
Like, I mean,
like any other adult could have maybe told her. You didn't need to be, it didn't need to be a governor.
No, she wants to make every point though. She's like, no, for the record, my mom's friends with people that work in government.
I know, it's just funny.
That's how much I know she was against me. It's like, all right.
It's cute and funny.
Yes. She's, I mean, Brittany is, I'm back. I'm so fucking back.
Yeah.
I'm ready to die for her.
It's really sad how she also keeps saying how she thinks they're trying to kill her. And I understand what she means. I would feel that way too. Like,
they kind of were.
Yeah. Cause it's like they didn't want to physically like stab her to death or something, but she just feels them slowly killing her, even though it's just like a psychological thing. It's really so sad that that's the thing that keeps repeating to her.
Well, and the irony is that, like, what they would tell you is the reason that they did this is because she was going to kill herself.
Right.
But either way, she is living the karma and healing the karma of Jean.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that. Jean, if people don't remember, is her grandmother who.
This is her karma.
Yeah. She committed suicide because of, I mean, it was all postpartum. She committed suicide because her baby died and she killed herself on his grave.
After being institutionalized by her abusive husband.
Right.
James Spears' dad, June.
For no good reason. Like, it's so, oh my God. It's just
insane shit.
So sad and awful.
Really bad.
They fired Felicia. Her dad told Felicia that Brittany didn't want her to work for her anymore.
My heart breaks for Felicia there because I know she believed it.
Aw, that makes me so sad.
And you know what else makes me sad? At the end of this book, Brittany sort of, she doesn't use her name, but she sort of says, Felicia, I'm mad at you for speaking in the TMZ, etc. documentaries. But what that gave me the impression was that not only have they not spoken since then, but that, like, I mean, I think maybe they could reconnect now, but it's like the reason that Felicia would have not reached out to Brittany is because in Felicia's mind, Brittany got rid of her. She wanted nothing to do with her. In Brittany's mind, they were still friends. And why didn't you reach out to me before you talked to Hulu?
And also, how could you have reached out to Brittany while she was still under the conservatorship? I'm sure it was easier said than done.
If Felicia didn't feel rejected because, like, Brittany was also her meal ticket, but she did, like, in terms of the actions that she took on a daily basis, she loved her. She's the only person that loved her, like, literally as a verb.
Yeah. So now she finally kind of gets reunited with her boys again because she's been playing along with all the rules of the conservatorship. She stopped drinking and doing drugs. So she admits that she was partying a lot at the time that the conservatorship was put into place. But I mean,
which I totally get. That's so not crazy.
Yeah, if someone stole my baby and we're like, you're never going to see her again.
You be drinking.
Right. Like, I would like to think I wouldn't self-medicate with drugs and alcohol. But if I truly believed I would never see my baby again, like, God,
I definitely would. I definitely would.
Yeah.
That would be so. I don't even know how I would approach that.
Right.
Especially, it's like one thing to lose your child to death, but like they're just still alive and you're. Your private person turned white rapper, no hit wonder husband has stolen them. I mean, no, I would. That's where you don't want me to have too much after all, because I will also the umbrella becomes your window and I am there trying to scare you. Are you kidding me? I would become so physical at that point, for sure.
Yeah. A paparazzo who stalked and tormented her for months sued for $230,000 for running. She ran over his foot with her car one time.
And good girl.
He sued her for $230,000. And she said, we settled and I had to give him a lot of money. So I guess she didn't give him the full $230,000, but still.
Put a pin in it, but I'll tell you later if we have time on the Patreon. But I actually witnessed my high school science teacher getting slowly hit by a car.
Oh, God. Were they okay?
Ultimately.
That's good. Her dad is always telling her she looks fat and she's going to have to do something about it. So every day I would put on my sweats and go to the gym. I would do little bits of creative stuff here and there, but my heart wasn't in it anymore. As far as my passion for singing and dancing, it was almost a joke at that point. That's the saddest thing, is that they ruined her like creative spark for such a long time.
It killed her spirit.
Yeah. And she talks about, of course, the most salient point ever, which is, think of all of the male stars who gambled their money away and like actually committed crimes and were never put under a conservatorship. And look at her. All she does is act out a little bit. You know, you nearly drive off one cliff and you never get to drink again. Come on.
Well, first of all, lol, she nailed it.
No, fair.
No. She nailed it. She
nailed it.
She's too fast, too furious. She's going to be in the quadruple. But like, no. She
and would drift.
like Calabasas, like whatever. Yeah, Kentwood drifts.
Yeah,
Kentwood drifts better. I was trying to think of a Calabasas, but I was thinking bass. It's not good. Yeah, Kentwood drift. No, she literally is here to become the next Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes, we are going to do the rest of the book on the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. This book is getting to be a slog. I feel bad for Brittany, and we're going to really make the next part fun.
No, it's gonna be so fast, so fast, so furious.
It's gonna be so fast and so furious and so fun.
Kentwood drift and Calabasas asses. That's what I'm looking for.
I know where to find some.
At the Patreon. Patreon.com/space-podcast.
I was gonna say Hulu, the Kardashians, but you're right. We should patreon.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.